pumped. We got a new ritual for you guys before we record to pump ourselves up. We listened to the song by Jobeen Esposito, You're the Best.
Around.
Better maybe known by its feature in...
The Karate Kid.
Here, let's just play it for you. Well, let me start it again. Yeah. You get it. Now you're feeling what we're feeling.
Get it.
Uh-huh.
Get it.
Uh-huh. It's like we're getting pumped up all over again.
I don't think I could get more pumped. And here I am, more pumped.
I'm so fucking pumped.
You know, this used to be my ringtone.
Really?
To wake me up in the morning. It was amazing.
Actually, I kind of remember that.
Right? Like, oh, fuck, my alarm's going off. But fuck, if I am not the best around, mm-hmm. I motherfucking am.
I'm pumped for today. I'm ready to fucking rock. I'm ready to rock, Angela. Where you want me?
You know, with my iPhone, I've had it for 2 years. I have not changed one setting on it. I don't have a ringtone. I don't have a text message tone. And I don't have an alarm that's different than factory settings.
Boring.
No, you're telling me every single phone, that's the first thing I do is I change all that shit. iPhone, I just don't get it.
Don't worry, we can have iPhone class after this.
Oh, fantastic.
So, you're here, listeners. You're back with us, back in our creepy Mormon house. What do we see? What do we see in our Mormon house?
Well, we're back in the high life again. So,
is there anything that we haven't possibly covered?
I don't... The crochet rugs that you make, like, they're not crochet, they're like...
Oh, yeah, you, like, tie them.
Yeah.
With the stretchy...
Right.
Yes, those are a thing. Does anybody know what those are called? Send us an email to FHEBadMormons or tag us on social media if you know what we're talking about.
Right.
I feel like it's, like, stretchy fabric rubber bands that you tie into rugs.
I definitely made a shit ton of them when I was, like, in middle school. Yeah. No, there's that. We've already covered pianos.
What did I make in, I actually went to, it wasn't called Home Ec, but it was called something. It was like Mormon girl sewing school.
Relief Society.
No, but it was in school. It was like an actual school.
That doesn't seem right.
No, it doesn't. But I grew up in Utah. And we did shit like that there.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Anyways, we have some things to Google.
Yeah, we sure do. Or... My favorite is when you guys Google it for us.
Yeah, Google it for us, listeners, and tell us what we did wrong. Because we're far too busy drinking.
It's true. Speaking of, what are we drinking today, Mandy?
Well, Charlotte, I have prepared for us a White Russian, the dude's favorite beverage.
Caucasian, if you will.
A Caucasian, yes. I've prepared it with St. George Artisan Distillery coffee liqueur.
Ooh.
Some grass-fed organic half and half. Some of that vodka that your friend made. The Trust Me.
Oh,
well,
yeah,
he didn't
yeah.
make it, but he...
He introduced me to it.
Yes. The Trust Me vodka.
I'm a shareholder, by the way.
And which I really love because Tara McPherson...
Does all the artwork.
Does the artwork, yeah. And how can it not be fucking cool? So
it's great.
Here's a little pitch for Trust Me vodka.
Right.
And I went a little off script and I added a little splash of Bailey's in there just for the fact that I love fucking Bailey's.
Yeah, Bailey's is awesome. Cheers.
So cheers. It's real good.
Yeah, it's not syrupy, because a Kahlua normally gives it that, so I really like the not Kahlua aspect of it.
Yeah, I'm going to go on record and say, fuck Kahlua.
Oh.
I mean...
That's a strong statement.
But you're tasting
sometimes
what's possible.
I like a little bit syrupy, but I can drink more than one of them because it's not so syrupy, mm-hmm. So there is that. All right, fine.
Yeah.
I'll allow it.
So, let's get into what we're watching, what we're listening to. What we're reading.
Well, so Thanksgiving weekend has just passed.
Correct.
I want to start off by saying we watched Event Horizon.
Yes, we did. Well, which started because we watched Ad Astra.
Right.
And I kept saying, this is exactly like Event Horizon.
Only lame.
And not a horror movie.
Right. Ad Astra was horrible. It was just really boring. And I kept expecting some plot twist. Well, spoiler alert. There is none, and it's boring, and it's stupid.
It's visually stunning.
Fine, I'll give it that.
I think it won some awards for that, but the story is, yeah, a little predictable.
Also, it was Event Horizon to a T. I don't know where Tommy Lee Jones was in Event Horizon. I kept expecting him to jump out.
Yeah, it really was. I mean,
they really didn't try. They're just like, Horizon. Oh, here, let me take the script of Event Horizon and dull it down a lot.
So, that's what we did for Thanksgiving. We made a ton of food, and I was like, you guys have to watch Event Horizon.
No, this was the day before Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Oh, because right. I have a line of all the movies we watched this weekend, which was a fucking lot. So, I got off of work. We ate a little bit of food. We poured ourselves a lovely glass of wine.
Mm-hmm. The Ghost Block.
Oh, so it was delicious.
So good. It was expensive. Like, it's a fancy bottle.
But it was good.
It's a once-a-year kind of bottle.
Right? And then I was like, well, Sam Neill, we should just have a Sam Neill-a-thon. So I recommended that we watch In the Mouth of Madness. And Mandy said, we could just watch Jurassic Park instead. I said, no. Sam Neill, Jurassic Park is too generic. Let's watch In the Mouth of Madness. And she was like, I guess. Mandy, why don't you explain to our listeners why you didn't want to watch In the Mouth of Madness?
Okay, I've heard In the Mouth of Madness. I've heard of it. I've never watched it because it sounds to me like it's a wartime period piece of like soldiers storming the beach at Normandy or something. I don't know. I always had it in my head that it was like a war, like a love war story. I don't know. In the Mouth of Madness. It just sounds
like. And he had to get home to his lover.
Yeah. It just, I don't know. And I was like, I don't want to watch a movie like that. I created this entire, like, basically
movie.
Script in my head of what this movie was about.
It's like the Notebook, but then we also realized that neither one of us has watched The Notebook, so.
I was assuming it was that, but, like, also a wartime drama. I don't know. So I never watched it. So Charlotte made me watch it, and then I was like, oh, this is not at all.
Wait, this is a John Carpenter film? Huh. Okay.
This is different. Okay, this isn't a period piece at all.
Now, I'm not going to go ahead and say it's a great movie. But it's not what you described.
No, it's much better than what I thought.
It's
insane asylum. Yes. Blood.
Yeah. In the Mouth of Madness. Insanity, as it were. And then I realized when I was like, wow, I owned the movie. I watched it a few times. I had no idea it was a John Carpenter film. So then I was like, well, John Carpenter, what else should we watch? Let's watch They Live.
Which I also hadn't seen.
So we jumped into that. I think you made it up until the 8-minute fight scene and then you passed out.
Well, I was fairly drunk by then, but I'm really happy and thankful since it's Thanksgiving. Thankful for Twitter because I was scrolling back through my tweets and I saw a tweet that I had written. Don't remember writing it. And it was, I was today years old when I learned that the 8-minute fight scene in They Live was a play-by-play remake of Jimmy and Timmy from South Park's like crip fight.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, yeah, I do remember watching that. But, yeah, I was pretty drunk by then.
Right. It was great. You were drinking whiskey before we opened up wine, so
yeah.
There's that.
Yeah.
And then for Thanksgiving, I don't know, there was nobody was giving me any pointers or directions, so I put on City Slickers.
And then I went to bed.
I'm not going to say it held up. It was okay. But, hey, young Jake Gyllenhaal was Billy Crystal's kid, so there's that.
That's right. That was a nice surprise.
But you woke up.
I did
wake
up. By the
end of it.
I woke up. I stretched my legs. I'd like shaken off my turkey nap. I walked out into the living room and my eyes beheld
Showgirls. So good. Well, you know, because Craig was trying to get me to watch something stupid. And I was like, I'm just going to put on Showgirls. No one can say no to that. And I was like, I kept putting it louder so that maybe you'd wake up
come
out and watch it.
Subliminally, it worked.
So we got, I'm sure you were up by the pool scene.
Oh, absolutely.
So we watched that, and then we're like, well, what else should we watch? Magic Mike.
Of course, yeah, Magic Mike, followed by Magic Mike XXL.
Which I had to Venmo you money for.
I was going through my email, deleting emails, and it said, it was like, you know, Amazon emails me every time I buy something, and it was like, you've purchased Magic Mike XXL. And then right below that, Charlotte Venmo'd you $2.99.
Wait, what did I give you $13.99 for?
I don't know.
It was a different movie, but now I'm like, it wasn't in the, I don't know, because I own that one. Anywho.
Anyways, it was funny.
And then we watched Magic Mike XXL.
I went to work today and everyone was like, how's your Thanksgiving? You know, what you do? And I was like,
stripper-a-thon.
I watched a double feature of Showgirls and Magic Mike. I'm not admitting to them that I watched Magic Mike XXL because I remember really liking that one. But back-to-back,
no.
Magic Mike is the fucking
shit.
Where
it's at. I can never say his name. Joe Magnano.
Joe Magliano.
Yeah. One, he's just a Greek god. And that's not even my style. It's usually like, oh, no, go away. But yeah, I wouldn't kick him out of bed.
He's handsome.
He's handsome. But that scene of him in the grocery store on Ecstasy, I just...
Oh, fucking, the convenience store.
Yeah,
to
yeah.
Backstreet Boys song.
Fucking kills me. It slays me every time.
How much do I owe you for the Cheetos and water?
And just all them high outside going, yes!
You can do it! It
just reminds me of the time that I do drugs and I miss doing them.
Anyways, that was our Thanksgiving. How was yours?
I was going to say... Then, the next day, I watched Dirty Dancing, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, and Saboteur. I classed it up with some Hitchcock.
I've never even heard of that one.
Oh, it's pretty good. It's not my favorite Hitchcock film, but it's a guy who gets framed for blowing up, you know, they're trying to, like, I don't know, it's communism or some shit like that. I just watched it, but I was on my phone half the time.
Yeah, that's actually, I had only written down Showgirls and Magic Mike double feature for a while.
I wrote down everything.
I had been watching.
It was a weekend of all movies, all day, every day.
Yeah. It's, I think anybody who knows me knows that I work for a natural and organic grocery retailer, and we all know that Thanksgiving is the fucking...
Hell week
of working at the grocery store. Even, you know, any grocery store you work at, that is the time notoriously... That is, like, super fucking busy, and everybody's stressed out, and everybody acts like assholes, you know, ramming into each other with their shopping carts. I counted back, and I realized this is my 22nd Thanksgiving at the grocery store. 22 years in a row. And this time, I was, like, making mental notes, because I was like, oh, I wonder, like, every time something really shitty happened, I was like, I'm going to remember that to talk about on the podcast. And then I got the brilliant idea. Why don't we start a segment called The Real Assholes of Orange County?
Yes!
And then we can just talk about all this, like, mean and horrible shit that they do.
That'd be great. I can't do it in my profession. It's too personal. I'm on one-on-one with a lot of people, so...
Oh, yeah, I can totally do it in mine. I talk to thousands of people.
And I'm sure that it will remind me of all the shitty times at the co-op. Yeah, when I say we worked at the co-op,
oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Everybody knows.
At the co-op, then yeah. Because me and Joey, one time, I remember he was on register 3, I was on register 4, and we were just talking about how much we hated the customers, you know, at work, it's professional, because we were really professional people. But we had this brilliant idea, and I still think it's a great idea, and we were going to talk about writing a book, but now I'm like, even a podcast would be okay, but it was customer service, compromising your integrity.
I think you mentioned that one before.
I still think it's a great idea.
Yeah, I don't know if there's too much of a conflict of interest with our, like, be excellent to each other ending segment if we have real assholes of Orange County earlier on in the show.
I think it is because we can tell those assholes how to not be assholes.
Well, let me just tell you this. I'm not going to get into all of it because there was a fucking lot this week. Not to mention, on top of everything, we're dealing with the coronavirus.
Right.
So we have to social distance. We got to make a huge line outside. So people who want to get into, at least to my store, I don't know if all stores are doing this, but if you want to come shopping at my store, you're going to motherfucking social distance and wear right. your mask whether you like it or not.
Right.
Or I'm going to kick your ass out, which I did to several people this week, and they were not happy about it. But I digress. So, like, you got, you know, a huge line outside to get in the store. Once you get in the store, then you get in a line to go get your holiday meal that you pre-ordered. And so there's a lot of waiting, and most people are just being super nice and super cool. But, like, Orange County is notoriously, like, rich white people, and the store that I work at is notoriously entitled rich white people shop right. there. And so we have, like, the cream of the crop of the real assholes of Orange County. So the only thing I'm going to mention this time is I had two people come in wearing hairnets as masks, just, like, in protest. Actually, I had another one who had cheesecloth. I let her get away with that one because it wasn't quite so...
In your face.
Yeah. As wearing a hairnet, you know, and I was just like, I couldn't believe it. And they were shopping separately, so I didn't know they were together until I had ended up kicking the one out. You know, I just approached him and I was like, hey, you know, I'm sorry, I need you to wear a mask. you know, and he pretended he doesn't speak English, which is a common tactic of the real assholes of Orange County. Till I pull my phone out, I'm like, what language do you speak? Translate. And then all of a sudden they speak fucking English. And then he starts screaming, rape! She's trying to rape me! And all these customers turn around and all these people turn around and I'm just like looking at them like, you know, shrugging my shoulders. I don't know.
This is what rape is.
She's trying to rape me. And I was like, I think you probably need to leave. You know, and then he goes outside, comes in the other door, does the whole thing again, tells me, he's a white guy, by the way. He has some kind of, like, Ukrainian or Russian accent. He's like, you're a white supremacist. This is racist. I'm African-American. I was like, you're not even making any fucking sense. You need to get out of here. And it happens every once in a while where I just kind of lose my shit on people. And I'm usually very professional and I'm just, you know, I expect there's somebody recording me at all times. So I have to like put on a show and just do what I'm supposed to do. But with this guy, after he screamed rape and after he screamed that I was a white supremacist for where he was wearing a hairnet over right. his mouth, I was like, you need to get the fuck out and you need to get the fuck out right now. And all these people were looking at me and I was just like, I'm going to lose my job this time. I'm going to lose my job.
I was going to say, is admitting this on the air a good idea?
Oh, it's fine. I have complete anonymity. Nobody who listens to this knows where I actually work, right? Right?
Or your actual name.
Don't sell me out, people.
Swear to God, if my sister has to not have a job.
I feel like if I can admit it to my boss, I can admit it to the world. Because he's the only person who's going to really be upset.
Most corporate ears and then get all pissy. There, go on.
The only way I could possibly get in trouble for telling these stories is if I said, in actual words, what the major natural grocery corporation I work for, the Natural and Organic Food Corporation I work for, is called. Which I've never done, and I never will. Keep it out of the comments, people.
Right?
Don't get me in fucking trouble. Anyways, new segment, Real Assholes of Orange County.
I love it. I can't wait to see it on the spreadsheet.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be great.
All right, do we have anything to repent for?
I do, actually. So, let's see. We kind of did a twofer back-to-back with our two Palm Springs episodes.
Right.
In the first one, I admitted to the world that I went to jail for...
Right, correct.
For prank phone calling. I still can't believe I did that. I mean, admitted it, not that I actually did that, because I didn't actually do it. If you listen to the episode, you'll know. Somebody else did all the prank calling. But we were drinking with Courtney, and I couldn't remember exactly how... We couldn't remember exactly how the cops had gotten involved. And then later on, we were talking about it and remembered. So here's the missing piece of that story was... So this nameless, that we shall not name, person who made all these fucking phone calls, you know, she made every single one of those calls. And then, I don't know if she got bored or we got bored or whatever and stopped calling. And then the police called our house, our landline, because, you know, we didn't have cell phones back right. then because it was in the dark ages. And the police called our house and Courtney picked up the phone, or we had it on speakerphone, I think. And they were like, listen, Courtney, we know you're making these phone calls and you need to stop or otherwise you're going to be like in deep shit, you know, and we're going to press charges against you or whatever. And so I called back this girl's number and I was like, Courtney didn't make those phone calls. You know what I mean? And the cops were on the line, like waiting for somebody to call back
right.
because there had been just such a like huge number of phone calls that had come through. So the one time I called back, I was like, Courtney didn't make the calls. And they're like, and what's your name? And I told them.
Idiot.
And so, yeah. So, I mean, they had our landline. It wasn't like, you know.
Well, I mean, what would have happened if you just nobody called? It would have just died, right?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, probably.
Right.
But that's actually how, because I was like defending Courtney's honor. I was like, Courtney didn't do it. Because it was like my friend, you know, she was my friend from Utah. So I called her back and I was like, Courtney didn't do it. And the cops were waiting for somebody to call. Anyways, and that's why you don't drink and get on the phone.
Right.
Don't text people. Don't call people.
Well, now that there's caller ID all the time, like, I think prank calls are like kind of done,
yeah.
right? Because it used to be... Because when caller ID became a thing, you could, like, not #69. That would call back the last person who called you.
*67.
*67 would hide your number, right? Or *67 was the callback.
I thought *67 was call ID.
Oh, I don't know. All I know is that you'd push something and it would be like, oh, you can't see it. But with cell phones, it's like, oh, well, if you can see that your sister's calling you to fuck with you, it's not really that funny now, is it?
There's probably a way to do it that we're just not cool enough to know.
It sounds like more work than I'm willing to put into it.
Yeah, anyways, that's my repentance. That's how I actually ended up getting myself in jail. Defending Courtney's honor. You're welcome, Courtney.
I'm going to repent forever doubting the fact that Joe Biden was going to kick Trump's ass in the election. Ba, ba, ba,
ba, ba. We have 52 more days.
Yeah. I did. I cried before I went to sleep. I was like, this isn't looking good for America.
I know. I was texting with my boss and we were both just like, what the fuck is happening? But, you know, everybody knew. We all knew. We talked about it for months ahead of time. The Democratic voters are going to
be the mail-ins.
Right. But still, it's just like you're so used to seeing it on election night build up. And so when you're not seeing it, you're like,
oh my God,
yeah. How is this fucking possible?
Still too close for me to be happy with.
Agreed.
But again, social dilemma. We can't hate people who support them because they're not seeing what we see. And we don't see what they see. And we all just need to be cool.
I feel like there's something there really to be explored. And I'm not the person to do it because I'm not that smart. But there's got to be some... There's a legitimate reason why so many people are so completely fooled by what to me, you and I, is an obvious con man.
Yeah.
An obvious diaper-wearing, public-shitting... Sorry, that was mean. I don't diss on people for their... able or not able-bodiedness, buttholes. Even if it is Trump.
Why didn't you say buttholes? Abled buttholes or disabled buttholes.
But anyways, there's got to be something to that. Like, how can an entire group of people be so completely...
I have a theory on this. So I have a movie I've watched like 100 million times. I fucking love it. The main character is like sarcastic and like a naysayer. And he's just like... he's kind of a dick. But like a lovable dick. And so I met the guy who co-wrote the script and starred in it. Like, he happens to live in town. And I was just like, oh my God, I'm freaking out. Or whatever. It was like, so we like talked, super nice guy. His wife is super cool. Like, just super cool people. And then I got to kind of know him a little bit better. Like, I don't really know them that well. But like, they're like super, like they're kind of religious, which I was kind of like, okay. And, you know, but like really nice. And I'm like, never meet your heroes.
Right.
Like, it, and then again, if he was a dick, that'd be one thing. They were really cool. But I think with Trump, he was in The Apprentice, right? And he portrayed this, like, strong businessman who was, like, really good at what he did. And that is not him at all.
I don't think that's it, Charlotte, because I don't think... I bet you out of... So we're talking about dividing the country, not essentially in half, because it's like, if you talk about popular vote, it's probably, like... still 70-30,
right.
If not 60-40. You know what I mean? All of those people didn't watch The fucking Apprentice. I guarantee you.
Idiots did.
No, I guarantee you. It's not about that at all. It's about...
I think that's a large aspect
of it. I don't think so. It doesn't have anything to do with him. Because if that was the case...
well, then why can't people see what a horrible businessman he is?
That's what I'm fucking saying. There's something else, like something to be... uncovered or some, I don't know, like you could put anybody in his place. This is my theory. You could put anybody in his place, like pick the fucking worst asshole person that nobody likes that's a popular figure and say, I'm the person who's fronting Republican politics.
Right.
Because it's not really about, it turns out, at least if my theory is correct, it's not really about the person themselves. It's just people are voting for that style of politics. It's like, which started out as like, how do we spend the money? You know,
right.
Republicans want a smaller government. They don't, well, you think they want a smaller government. They think they want a smaller government, but at the same time, they really want the government to be involved in, you know,
letting
how many abortions
not,
we can
right.
have, or yeah, if gay people can get married. It's like, they only want the government to not be involved in things that they fucking believe
right.
in.
Which is their money.
Yeah. And they don't want to fucking pay for anything.
Right.
So, but I think that's how it started, was like Republican versus Democrat, was Republican wanted small government and not to pay a lot of taxes. And Democrats were like, hey, we need to fund
social programs
to have a legitimate society where we're not like walking through piles of human shit on our way to work.
Right.
You know, I'm sorry, I'm going back to my life in San Francisco. But you know what I mean?
Like, no, absolutely.
I think that's how it started. So it's like you get to a point where you could have, like, we joke about the movie Idiocracy a lot with this administration. Right. You could pick, oh, Rowdy Piper's already dead. Aww. Speaking of They Live. But, like, you could pick just any Joe Rogan, any asshole off the street, right? And just be like, you're our president. And they would still vote for him, and they would come up for reasons to love him just to back that style of politics. And, you know, it's, I think, feel like half of it is like, oh, we just always vote Republican because we always have. Half of it is like, we don't want to spend all of our money. Well, that's right. Probably more than half of it.
I was going to say, a lot, legitimately, when I talk to people, it's, well, my 401k is doing well. And I'll say, okay, so just to be perfectly clear, money is more important than your neighbor. And they're like, well, some people are like, yeah. And other people are like, well, no, but yeah.
Yeah.
But I also feel like a huge amount of people are single-issue voters, and that is abortion.
Yeah.
And which I just don't get why people can't mind their own business, but...
Right. Well, and I always think about, too, like... Because I've been trying to wrap my head around this, especially because this one is so polarizing, and it's so... Trump is such a complete monster, like... You know, so many allegations of rape, raping 13-year-old girls, yeah. You know, and it's like just pretending to be this Christian somebody or whatever. And people are just absolutely like looking the other way, legitimately may not have heard some of these claims because right. of the whole social media thing.
Right.
But it's out there to be found. And then a lot of people are like us are out there saying it like, hey, this guy rapes kids. You know, right. This is your guy.
He was really good friends with Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah. And so people like our family members, who I don't want to name names, but like a lot of our family members
are Trump supporters.
And it's just like, how can you possibly vote for this guy who's raping 13-year-old kids and throwing money at them and saying, get a fucking abortion.
Right. But we're voting for him because, and fucking Christians, God damn it, are like, Jesus picks imperfect people. And it's like, because apparently the supposed perfect people who front being not horrible monsters are the ones who are aligned with Satan. Right. Because they have to work harder at hiding the evil people that they actually are. When actuality, if somebody shows you who they are, believe them. Right. That man's a fucking con man monster.
Right.
Who rapes goddamn 13-year-olds.
Well, and the other thing I was thinking about, too, is like, so that boggles my mind. But at the same time, these people, or I should say person, who instilled in me the beliefs that I have. Like, I wasn't born with these beliefs. I wasn't born with these values. I was instilled, these were instilled in me by my parents.
Right.
Look out for the less fortunate. Stand up for the people who can't stand up for themselves. Like, take care of people, you know? Fucking, all that shit was taught to me. So it's like, how can the people who taught me that
align with this garbage?
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I don't fucking understand.
Mind-boggling.
And that's where I feel like there's really something to be, like, uncovered somehow. And I don't know.
Well, I try to talk to my Trump-loving clients or whatever. Like, because we can usually have a pretty civil conversation. It doesn't go ugly. But, like, it's... A lot of times they'll be like, oh, I didn't even think about that. Like, I don't even try to bring up the child rape or
that's the ultimate.
Because I only bring that up when they try to say Joe Biden's a fucking child molester. I'm like, are you kidding me? This man is actually accused of raping a 13-year-old and throwing money at her saying, what if I get pregnant? Because she begged him to not rape her without a condom. She said, please put on a condom. He raped her anyways and threw money at it and said, get an abortion if you get pregnant.
Yeah.
Like, that's who you're voting for.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, I got a little worked up.
So 25 minutes of bashing Trump. We were like, let's do a short episode. Let's do
a real fun one.
So we can go watch Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Don't get us started on fucking Trump.
I'm just going to say one last thing.
Okay.
The Trump administration just spent $3 million to do a recount in Wisconsin. Do you want to know what they found from that?
Tell us what they found, Charlotte.
132 votes were actually inaccurately counted towards Biden. Mm-hmm. So Trump lost even bigger. He spent all that money and he lost by a larger margin. Go fuck yourself, Trump.
Go fuck yourself.
And thank you. We all got to pay for that.
I actually was informed, this might be incorrect, so get back to us, listeners.
We might have to repent for something
later. Yeah, we might have to repent for something. But somebody told me that it wasn't actually taxpayer money that is paid for these recounts. It was actually campaign contributions.
Oh.
So that might be a little something to, it might be something for our listeners to Google for us, so that we don't have to do any work.
You know, I would, but I'm going to be watching The Mandalorian later.
I'm really excited to watch The Mandalorian. All right, here.
Last week's episode was so good.
It was great. Let's hear a word from our sponsors.
Okay. Great idea.
And then we'll come back and we'll tell the stories that we planned on telling 29 minutes ago.
Jesus Christ.
BRB.
Hey there again, girlfriends. Hopefully you've had the opportunity to check out our feminine hygiene line, Temple Twat. Our goal is to help keep your hole holy. I'm here to share with you our brand new product, Disappointment Diaper. Heavenly Father and I know that each time you give your husband the red rain check, that's a missed month of creating a new soul for your sect, the potential for a new prophet, a future bride for Uncle Hollis. Disappointment Diaper is like an adult diaper, only about 4 times the size. Worn under your garments, Disappointment Diaper is meant to puff out, letting all of your sister wives and fellow community members know that you failed at furthering the family this month. At the end of the week, when you're done simmering that spicy red clam sauce, chuck Disappointment Diaper in the wash. Hopefully you won't need it next month, but it's there just in case. So wash out those hip lips and give the mister another swing at the squish mitten. Disappointment Diaper from Temple Twat, helping to keep that hole holy.
Family Home Evening with Bad Mormons listeners get 10% off your first purchase of Disappointment Diaper with the promo code Death Valley. That's 10% off your first purchase of Disappointment Diaper with the promo code Death Valley at checkout.
And we're back. Stories. I see you're wearing a Point Break Live shirt.
Oh, this old thing? Point Break Live, Los Angeles, California?
Turns out that's mine because you didn't go to that show, but...
You gave it to me and no take backsies.
We'll discuss this later. Let's talk about the first time we ever saw Point Break Live.
That's a great idea. And also, let's explain what Point Break Live is.
Wait, it's not self-explanatory?
You think that it would be, but there might be some people out there in the world who don't know what Point Break Live is.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, so Point Break Live obviously is a live-action version of the cinematic masterpiece, Point Break, the 1991 Kathryn Bigelow film.
Before she did The Hurt Locker.
Starring Patrick Swayze, top billing, Keanu Reeves, Gary Busey.
The guy from Scrubs.
Lori Petty.
Oh, yeah.
What is that guy from Scrubs'
I
name?
I don't know.
John C. something.
He was also a sniper in the movie Seven.
Was he? Oh, yeah, he was.
He had a very small role.
Yeah, he's great.
He is great.
Anyways, Point Break, one of our favorite films. Actually, it's legit, I want to say top 5. I know that's committing, but I'm going to say I watch it at least once a year. Mm-hmm, and I have since forever.
I'm going to say Point Break and Terminator 2. Is it Terminator or Terminator 2? I don't know!
Well, wait, we're talking about Point Break right now.
Fine. You made me think about top fives.
Point Break is definitely in my top 5. It's a great fucking movie. If you guys have ever seen the remake of Point Break that happened a few years back ago, I stop listening to this podcast right now because you're banished. Just kidding. I've never seen it, but I would never...
tried to watch 5 minutes of it, and I turned it off.
Yeah, I would never even presume to watch it, because it has to be total garbage.
It really, really was. My very good friend, Ren, watched it, and he warned me. He's like, don't do it, Charlotte. It's bad. I was like, well, duh, it's going to be bad. But is it like good bad or bad bad? He's like, just don't. It's bad bad. I'm like, oh, okay, good to know.
So Point Break Live is a comedy troupe from L.A. that basically does a live-action rendition of the movie on stage.
For 45 minutes, about?
It's about 45 minutes. So they don't do the entire film play-by-play.
They do the highlights.
Yeah, they do the highlights. And it's... So basically, let me start at the beginning. So how this got started was one of my coworkers. I had moved to San Francisco, and this was... I think 2008, 2009-ish. One of my coworkers was like... And I wish I could credit who told me about it, but I can't remember. He was like, you have to see this Point Break Live. They're doing it at the Metreon. It's fucking crazy. It's so much fun. You have to go check it out. So I went to go see it. Actually, did I go see it or did we all go see it together? I think I'd seen it before.
For Tiffany's 30th birthday, we went, so
yeah, I had seen it before, and I was like, okay, all my sisters have to go to this. Everybody I know has to see this till the end of time. And so it's like an LA-based thing, but then it was so popular that they tour and they do, like, different locations. And so they were doing it in San Francisco. And so it was 2010, so it was Tiffany's birthday.
Right.
And all of you guys were coming to San Francisco to hang out, and I was like, I have the perfect thing for us to do. We should go see Point Break Live. And so we go into the theater, and
we bought, like, I think it was a $10, like, goodie bag, mm-hmm. if you wanted, like, a water poncho.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but you were like, $10 for a poncho, like, do I really need a poncho? Right. And I was like, yes.
Yes, you absolutely do.
You do need a poncho. And also,
but you didn't warn me of, we all bought these sailor caps.
That's true.
And some of us didn't make it out.
Without fake blood covering.
You know, I think I cleaned it pretty good. I still have that hat to this day.
But anyways, so it's like you get
money.
You get fake money.
That has Bodhi and Agent Utah's face on it.
Uh-huh. Little, like, you know, fake printed
fives and ones.
You get a plastic poncho, and you can also buy beer. So, like, I think we bought a case. They just sold us a case
right.
of beer.
Right, we got so much. Tall boys of PBR and Scooby snack shots.
Mm-hmm.
I was fucked mm-hmm. up.
And it's generally, every show sells out. So we've gotten there in enough time to get T-shirts and stuff. But since I had been there before, I was like, oh, we have to sit in the front row.
Right.
And so I got us all to go get there super early, get all of our shit. And everybody was just like, is this necessary? Like, this seems excessive. And I was so excited because I had already seen it before. And I was like, oh, just wait. So we all get in the front row. And then basically what happens, do you want to tell this part?
No, I think you can explain it better.
Okay, so basically what happens is, so you've got your ponchos on, you've got your fake money.
You're talking about auditioning, right?
No, I'm just talking about the start of the show in general.
Gotcha.
And so everybody's got their shit, and you're just kind of like, you don't really know what to expect, but it's just a bunch of drunk people, like, seriously slamming beers in the audience with
very,
ponchos. And
very drunk.
It's weird. And you're just like, what is this?
You're almost like at a high school play, kind of.
Is this a play? Is this a movie? What is happening here? And so some of the actors come out on stage, and they kind of explain to you, oh, this is a live-action remake of Point Break, and, you know.
But they bring out, like, this is Kathryn Bigelow.
Yeah.
So they've got, you know, their actor who comes out.
Yeah, and legit, the first time I saw it, I actually
kind of
thought
it
was Kathryn Bigelow.
So did I. So
because
did I.
She looks just like her, and she acts like her, and I was like, oh my God, is this
Did they actually get Kathryn Bigelow to come out here?
And like Charlotte said, this was pre-Hurt Locker.
Right.
So
it could have been possible.
Sort of feasible that she might have come out in San Francisco to be like, oh, I'm a guest star at this, you know.
She was married to James Cameron, right?
She was, yeah.
Yeah.
Or if not married, at least dating. I think they were married.
I think they were married before he left her to go marry Sarah Connor.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, then they ask you to audition, right?
Well, yeah.
Okay, so the premise, too, is that Keanu Reeves is such a horrible actor, which we don't agree with, but that anybody could play him, right? So they have you come up on stage, and there's usually, what, about, like, 15 people, 10 people who will go up, and then you have to deliver a line. So, like, I went up there. I was like, I'm gonna fucking nail this. I know this movie forwards and backwards. I don't even need cue cards. They never pick a girl, by the way.
That's not true.
Okay, I just wasn't good enough. But that's not the way I'm choosing to remember it, Mandy. So, yeah, I think one of them was, whoa. I got past the first round of auditions. Then it was the second one. You had to do jumping jacks and say, are we going to jump or jerk off? And I did not get that part. They made me leave. And then there was one more round, and then, of course, a dude got it.
Yeah, so the audience decides who's going
to
be Johnny
Utah. It's how much you claps.
Every part in the show has a dedicated actor, and except for the Johnny Utah role. So
right.
Every single performance, Johnny Utah is selected from the crowd, and the only lines that Johnny Utah has are very minimal, like whoa,
yeah.
Dude, no way, brah.
I work for the FBI. Yeah. I'm an FBI agent. But they're on this little big cue card by this little girl.
Yeah, and there's a little girl basically like,
and pushing... by little girl, she's an adult.
Yeah, she's a tiny framed petite woman.
Yes.
And she pushes you around the stage and she'll like throw you down and she'll, you know, hold
Johnny, your knee.
She'll hold the cue cards in front of your face to let you know when it's time for you to say your line. But basically, Johnny Utah doesn't have a lot of lines.
Right.
Because
he's standing around a lot.
It's kind of like Rocky Horror Picture Show in this sense, where it's just like the audience participation is super fun and the audience chooses who's going to be Johnny right. Utah by how loud they clap for you.
Right.
So, yeah, so basically what happens is Johnny Utah, the audience member is picked to play Johnny Utah, and then everybody goes backstage, and, you know, you're kind of in the audience drinking your beers and wondering what happens, and then the lights go down, way down, like blackout, I think, right?
Remembering
this right?
It's pretty dark.
And then when the lights come up, you realize that all of the audience or all of the actors are in the crowd
right.
with machine guns.
Right.
Full of fucking fake blood. And they've got packs of money and they're just like, they come out and they're screaming, "Everybody get on the fucking ground right now. It's a fucking bank robbery." And that's so, like, the entire audience is just like, "Oh shit, what's happening?" And you all get on the ground and they start spraying you with these machine guns, which are full of fake blood. So everyone's covered in blood.
My poor hat.
I mean, that's why the ponchos were necessary. But it was really shocking. Like, the first time
you see
it,
you're like, "Oh my God, what's happening?"
Because you're looking at the stage waiting for the performance to start, and then all of a sudden people are around you with guns screaming, "Get the fuck down! This
right.
is a fucking robbery!" Anyways.
So for me, during that scene, I knew what was going to happen. I didn't really know what was happening, but I felt something, like, touching my leg. And we're in folding chairs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're in the front row. And I'm like, "What the fuck?" So I just kind of put my hand down, and I feel a dude down there. And I was like, "Oh, hey, sorry." He's like, "Shh." And I was like, "Okay." And then I grabbed my beer and I gave it to him and he fucking pounded the entire thing. It was awesome. This was pre-COVID, clearly. And I was like, "You son of a bitch, that was my beer." Like, I had to go get a new one. And then he rolled out or somehow. Like, again, the folding chairs, I don't really get how it happened. I think maybe he wasn't like under the chairs. He was just under my legs.
Yeah.
But I was just like, "Oh, okay. Hi!" Anyway, it was great. It was so wonderful.
So good. So then they rob the bank, and basically it just goes on like that. Like, there's parts where they're surfing.
Right,
like,
and the water is just douching you.
Yeah, the water's spraying out onto the crowd, and the actors will actually come off the stage and, like Charlotte said, take your beer out of your hand, pound your beer. I remember that happening. The one dude on the surfboard, like, the other guy who was holding up the surfboard came out and grabbed somebody, one of our beers, and, like, pounded the beer. We're like, "Motherfucker."
But it's also... awesome. Like, I don't care that you pounded my $3 PBR. I'll go get another one.
Yeah. And I don't want to give away the whole thing because, you know, when COVID ends, which it
hopefully
fucking will.
Come back.
No, they will come back. It's actually, I've been on their website.
Oh, sweet.
Because it turns out this is LA's longest running comedy show.
Really?
Yeah. I actually wrote it down. It started out in, I didn't write that part down.
God
damn it. It started out in 2003.
Okay.
I remember, right? But yeah, it's been going strong this whole time. So I don't want to ruin all of it because I really feel like everybody should fucking see it.
You absolutely should.
Yeah.
So me and Craig, Craig didn't come with us on that trip and I was like, "Craig, it was so great. We need to blah, blah, blah." And then I saw they were playing at the Tiki Bar in Costa Mesa. And so we go in, we showed up a little late. Like, the show hadn't started yet, but it was like about to start. And so we had to hang out back by the sound mixer, which was great because we got a really good view of everything. And of course, I've seen it already, so I know what to expect. And so Craig, being, you know, a man of the room, likes to know what's happening. He saw the bank robbers come in through the front door and they just looked at him and put a finger up and was like, "Shh." And so we're like, "Okay, it's cool, whatever." So that, you know, they go by, they do their thing. And they do that a few times because they robbed the bank a few times, right? And every time they go by, they just slap Craig's ass super hard. And it was really funny. And then, of course, they have an intermission at some point. And we brought our friend Nick. And it was really funny. I was wearing my Point Break shoes, though. And Craig got a hold of, like, the producer or one of the director dudes or whatever. I'm not entirely sure what his role was. But he's like, check out my girlfriend's shoes or whatever. And I was like, oh, shut up. And he's like, oh my God, that's awesome. So like, he took me backstage to go say hi to the cast.
Rad.
It was super rad. And I was like, oh, hey guys, you guys are doing a really great job. Love it. Or whatever. And they're just like, and he's like, yeah, look at her shoes. Aren't they cool? Half of them were unimpressed. It was very much like, yeah, I've seen that before. And it's like, oh, excuse the fuck out of me. I'm just going to go back inside and get another beer. Turns out, I found out later why they were not in a great mood.
Why?
Well, okay, so great show, same thing. Can't really add too much more to it. Then me and Craig and Tiffany for her next birthday, not her next one from her 30th, but much later, went and saw Terminator 2, Judgment Play. So same premise, only it's now Arnold Schwarzenegger is the Keanu Reeves character, and then they do Terminator 2.
So they pick somebody out of the audience?
Yeah, they pick somebody out of the audience that's going to be Arnold, and it's super amazing. Craig actually won a t-shirt.
Nice,
they
said,
whoever, you know, take a picture of what's going on, tag us, you know, with a hashtag. We'll decide later. And so Craig had the best picture of what was happening live, and it was wonderful.
I'm so jealous I didn't get to see that, because so it sounds good. Fucking amazing.
It was really good. Well, when we came in, I recognized the guy at the door checking IDs was Bodhi. No, he wasn't Bodhi. Sorry, he was Roach.
Okay.
And I was like, didn't you play Roach? And he's just like, I did. And he was like, I saw you guys at the Tiki Bar. It was fucking awesome. And he's like, oh man, that's so awesome. Thanks for like coming by or whatever. And I was like, yeah, totally. And then, we watched the show. It was really great. So it was the same actors do it, but they're doing the Terminator 2. And then at the end of it, I went to go. I just was hanging out and talking to him. And I was like, yeah, no, I saw you guys in San Francisco. I mean, same people. He's like, wait, what year or whatever? And he's like, yeah, we were there. It was great. And I was like, yeah, I guess I'm kind of a groupie now or whatever. Like, it's cool. But he was saying, I was like, yeah, we saw you in San Francisco at this year, and we saw you at the Tiki Bar a couple months ago. And he's like, oh yeah, we'll never play there again. And I was like, oh shit, like what happened? He's like, well, you know, we're covered in water, and they did not have a space that was indoors for us, and they were all freezing out back.
Oh shit. So
there's blood and water, and they're just, and it beer. Was, I think it was October when we went, or was it February? It was February. So I mean, it's not super cold, it's California, but it's not warm either.
Right.
And now that I think about it, people were in big robes and stuff out there.
I mean, it feels
there.
Cold to me in February.
It's fucking cold.
Yeah.
It's like 60 degrees. Like, and if you're in Wisconsin, it's going to be a little different, but fuck, it's cold for California. But yeah, so because I was even saying, I was like, you know, we have the Camino Real Playhouse here. I don't know if they would allow us to trash it like this, but I think that would be an excellent spot.
Oh my God, it would be so
good. And I talked to Beverly about it, and she's like, well, we could probably do the Black Box, which is their smaller stage. They're like, but yeah, I'm like, dude, that sounds, they're like, so long, but they were like, so long as an indoor area for us to prep in between scenes.
Yeah.
I was like, I have no idea. I'll have to ask some people. But I got their card, and then I just never followed up. But yeah. But it was great.
And then the COVID.
And then the COVID happened, and now no more fun ever.
Did I tell you about what happened? So after I took you guys in San Francisco, I ended up taking my team at work. Oh. Did I tell you about that?
I think I heard a little bit, but I don't know details.
So I took you guys. We had the fucking best time we've ever had.
Right.
And then I was like, this is so fun. So this was back in the day that I used to have a little bit of a budget to do like team building. And so my team was small. I had like 6 people on my team or something. So I was like, I'm going to take all of you guys to the Metreon. They're still playing this like, you know, show. We're going to go see Point Break live. And so my assistant, Kat, she's like super cool and super hip, and she was totally into it. And like, you know, I could count on her to like support me for it. But everybody else on my team at that time was a little older.
Oh no.
And
they might not get it.
Not hip so much. They were cool people.
Had
still,
they seen Point Break
still
before?
Cool people. Probably not.
Would they get it if they haven't watched Point Break?
I don't know. Well, let me tell you what happened. So, like, one of the ladies was, actually, 2 of the ladies were, like, in their 50s. One of them was Japanese, well, South Korean, but, like, had grown up in Japan, so Japanese speaker.
Right.
Didn't speak a lot of English. I mean, she spoke enough English, but her English, like, as far as, like, slang, wasn't really all there or whatever. But, you know, I knew that everybody would have a good time. I was also kind of new to leadership at that time, so I didn't really think about other people's perspectives. I just wanted everybody to do what I thought was fun, right. And my assistant thought was fun. So we made this plan and took these people who probably wouldn't have had a good time otherwise. Long story short, we did all have a great time. Right. But the funny part about this was, so I made them all sit in the front row with me, and the one lady who was the Japanese speaker, you know, and she was, like, game for anything. She was right. A fun person. She didn't get it, but she was totally...
But she'd always try.
Yeah, totally having a good time. And I was like, so whatever... Oh, so they start doing the Johnny Utah, like, audition piece or whatever.
Oh, and, did she go up?
Well, what I had told her at the beginning was, I was like, so whatever they say, just go along with it. Like, if anybody grabs you or tells you to do something, just do it. Like, it's fun. It's part of the thing. You know, and she's like, okay. And so, they're, like, looking for volunteers for Johnny Utah, and she puts her hand up, and I was like, oh, no. And they come down, and they bring her up on stage, and I was like, okay, don't forget, just whatever they say, do what they say. It's going to be fun. You're going to have a great time. She's like, okay. So she gets up there, and they do the first thing where they're, like, the first cue card that they have to read is, like, whoa, or whatever.
Right.
So she reads it, you know, and then everybody applauds. And I think they were having a hard time getting people to come up on stage for that one, because there's only like 3 people, I feel like. So she ended up making it to the next round, and it was the one where you do the jumping jacks, right. And then the cue card says, are we going to jump or jerk off?
Oh my God, yes.
So she's up there. I see the cue card. Me and my assistant, Kat, look at each other, and we're just like, oh my God, what have we done? I'm going straight to fucking hell. I'm going to hell for this. And she looks at the cue card, and she looks back at the guy, and the guy was like, you know, she's doing the jumping jacks the whole time, and, she looks at the cue card, and he's like, read it. And she goes, what does this mean? And the guy who's supposed to be in character, like, you know, the casting director, right. Just starts laughing. And he just looks at the ground. He looks back at her. She's like a 55-year-old Japanese woman. You know, looks back at her again. He's like, do you want the part or not? Or something like that. And she's like, you know, just read the thing. So she's doing her jumping jacks the whole time. She's like, are we going to jump? Oh, jerk off! And the whole audience just starts rolling, laughing, cheering. There was like a standing ovation for her. It was so fucking funny.
Did she get the part?
She didn't get the part.
It's probably for the best.
It was for the best. But she definitely got the most like audience engagement, and everybody was like so proud of her for going up there and not knowing what the fuck she was doing. Right. But she just went gung-ho for it. Oh, yeah, I'll never forget that. Jumping jacks. Are we going to jump? Oh, jerk off. What does this mean? And we had a great time. But yeah, I'll never forget the look on the guy's face, too, just like looking at the ground like, what am I doing right now? Making this lady talk about jerking off.
Listen, you didn't write the script.
No, and it was, and everybody had so much fun. Like,
no, that sounds amazing.
It was super fun. Yeah, that's one thing, too. Like, that whole group, even though they were, like, older and probably wouldn't have been their scene, they were down to have a good time. Right, so.
And that's always, always fun.
Yeah. I really wish we could go see Point Break Live right now because I'm so pumped up
too
on the memory.
This time I'm not going to black out for it, because I will have to say that the first time we went to go see it, I vaguely remember leaving. I remember paying for my shirts and then trying to pay for them a second time.
Oh, yeah?
And he's just like, you've already paid me. I was like, have I? I was fucked up. Because there was a lot of Snoopy snacks involved. Also, shouldn't tell this story, but I'm going to. Not
do
a real story.
It's
just, I was sleeping in your bed. Like, I think Tiffany was sleeping on the arrow bed in the living room or whatever, but, like, I was crashing in your bed, and I was so fucked up you guys had to drop me off, which happens from time to time. And I guess I had to get up to go pee or something, and I think I was, like, about to pee your bed. So I had to take my pants off, and then I got turned around, and I went into Lisa's room, and I got into her bed. So pantsless Charlotte slept in Lisa's bed for a while, and if I remember correctly, I'm not the one who saw it, but you told me later, it was like, hey Mandy, your sister's bottomless in my bed. Love you, Lisa.
I totally forgot about that. Yeah, Lisa's probably, like, the coolest roommate.
Yeah, she's great. Sorry, I presented myself to you.
Oh, good times. We've almost been recording an hour.
Oh, it's time to go. Should I gotta go watch The Mandalorian.
Yeah, should we go?
Be excellent to each other.
Listen, I wrote one thing down I want to say about being excellent to each other that I thought was fucking awesome. When all is said and done, and when I die, and when my headstone is etched out, and you're crying profusely over my grave going, why is she gone? Why is she dead? I'm going to hope that I contributed more than I judged and criticized people. Maybe not judged. I love judging people.
Yeah.
But more than I criticize people. I hope that it balances out. Like, I hope I've created and contributed and made things better more than I've torn them down.
Well, I hope that I live my life in a way that doesn't make people dance in the street when I've lost my job.
Fair enough. I also hope I die first. I call dibs on it.
I don't think you can. Besides, Tiffany already did, so you're kind of screwed on that one.
She should have started her own podcast because it's not fair until you... It's not real until you say it on the podcast.
Until multiple people hear you say it.
All right, let's, bye. Let's go watch Mandalorian. On our way out, we just want to let you guys know, we've done a shitload of work on our social media campaigning this past couple weeks. We got our website up and running. I started a Pinterest page today.
Ooh.
We've got our Instagram, we've got our Facebook, we've got our Twitter. We're selling merch. Actually, we were going to ask you guys.
What do you want to see for merch?
We did coffee mugs and they pretty much sold out immediately. So we're like getting on the merch train.
I made a bunch of necklaces that I would want to buy, but I don't think or don't know if that's something you would like. Because you could either make a necklace out of it or a keychain. But anyways, I just put things that I really liked images-wise. Some of them are like 1930s, like dudes making out. Some of them are chicks making out. And some of them are like just...
people in space.
Half-naked people. And yeah, it's space and like kind of trippy acid art type stuff. And they're fairly cheap. I think I priced everything about $15.
So go to our website, check it out.
Right? And then we want to make some new shit for you guys. And we're getting real fucking artsy.
Yeah, so crafty. What do you want? You want t-shirts? You want hoodies?
Do you want some masks?
Do you want tote bags? We'll make it for you. Come to our social media. Let us know.
DM us. Email us at fhebadmormons@gmail.com.
We're here for you.
And like and subscribe. I'm not drunk.
Yeah, share us with your friends. We also made a YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
So head over to YouTube.
Subscribe.
We can actually start earning pennies on YouTube as soon as we get 1,000 subscribers. So we only have 989 more subscribers we need.
And we know how many people listen to this, and there's at least 1,000.
Get your motherfucking asses to YouTube and subscribe to our channel so we can start earning pennies. Thanks for hanging out with us tonight.
Jesus and I love you.
And also, if you ever get the chance to see Point Break live, you just have to do it. It's fucking awesome.
It's like $15.